Welcome to Locked On Cardinals. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock. Follow me on Twitter at Clancy's Corner. Follow Bo at Bob Brack. Follow the podcast at Locked On AZ Cards. Listen to us both on Fox Sports 910 Phoenix, me 1-4 on the Freaks, and Bo 4-7 on the Drive, Monday through Friday, Mountain Standard Time. So, Joe Flacco gets traded to the Broncos from the Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens are going to eat. They're going to have, what, 16 mil dead cap? Is that what you said, Bo?
Yeah, $16.5 million. I mean, it's not like it's actual money that they're going to burn.
Right.
But it's going to go against the cap.
Yeah, money they cannot spend this year.
Right.
So, why are we talking about this on a Cardinals podcast? Well, the Cardinals, or Bo and I, think that the Cardinals were banking on either Denver or Jacksonville or, you know, the Giants to want to potentially move up and draft a guy in the Cardinals position, quarterback. Joe Flacco going to Denver pretty much seals the deal that Denver has found their guy, at least for next season. So that's one team that's out of the race. And we talked a lot of Kyler Murray yesterday. We're not going to do that again today. But it's just interesting with Joe Flacco now being supplanted as the quarterback of the Broncos that it does somewhat directly affect the Cardinals and their draft strategy, right? Or are the Cardinals at this point like, you know what, we'll hear offers. We're not going to actually go look for offers to trade down.
I don't think it completely harpoons the and takes another team out of the equation. I mean, we've already seen it once where kind of a shifty run-first quarterback, the likes of Kyler Murray, is drafted in the first round and competes with Joe Flacco. We could see it again. He could experience basically the same season in back-to-back years as he did last year with Lamar Jackson. But, yeah, I mean, the Denver Broncos, for whatever reason, John Elway kind of has what Steve Keim had a couple years ago where an arrogance where he feels like he can figure out the quarterback position.
Yeah.
And he can do it in ways that aren't traditionally successful.
Right.
Right? I don't know. I mean, I think you're right, though. Most likely, yeah, the Denver Broncos in a first-round quarterback, it's not going to happen. With them sitting at 10, I doubt that they're going to go out there and get a guy in the first round. They think that their defense is right. With the right signal caller, they can make noise in the AFC West. I sincerely doubt that, but
yeah.
John Elway seems to feel differently, and he hasn't learned a single thing from the revolving door post Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I
mean, Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, it's interesting that Joe Flacco being the next guy, because Joe Flacco and Brock Osweiler have pretty much the same body.
Kind of,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, Joe Flacco, I think, is a little bit shorter than Brock's 6'7", right?
A little shorter.
A little girthier.
Better mechanics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, he's a better quarterback. Arm. I'm not talking, but like,
it's marginally better, right? I mean,
no.
They're both crap sandwiches.
I think Joe Flacco, he has brilliance in him.
He had it.
Yeah, I just don't know.
I think that brilliance actually was just completely wrung out.
Well, maybe the offense was wrong. Maybe, I mean, we have no idea.
I have a pretty good idea.
Okay.
I think he's hot garbage
okay.
at this point.
Fair enough. But
there was a debate, and I believe the debate was very real of whether or not, you know, Joe Flacco was really on that line of whether or not he was an elite quarterback. I really do believe that.
I mean,
this is a guy that didn't turn the ball over throughout a postseason. He was the main reason that Ravens team with a great defense was able to take that step forward and win a Super Bowl.
Well, and who is the corner? It wasn't Chris Harris Jr. It was somebody that...
Yeah,
that,
it was a blown coverage.
For Jacoby Jones.
Jacoby Jones was able to take it in for the score, or was it the tie, and then...
No. That was to go ahead with 15 seconds left or something.
And ironically, against the Broncos.
Yeah, right. So, John Elway's decided that there are very few stereotypical old school quarterback body, everything like that, pocket passers in the NFL. I'm going to go get one, and that's going to be that. And I know John Elway's got a lot of flack for being a nut in many situations. At least he's got a plan. It could be the most ignorant stance on how to run a team, but he's got a plan. And the Cardinals, they're still in the infancy stages of what they want to do next season. Who their next target is, and is, as far as we know. So this, you know what, this may be much ado about nothing for the Cardinals in general.
I could be way off base. This is just my opinion and my viewpoint of the NFL, that I feel the Cardinals overall right now, if you were to go player for player, mm-hmm. depth chart versus depth chart with the Broncos, I still would buy stock in the Cardinals before I would the Broncos.
Even with that, with the just two edge rushers they have
what they perceive, and I certainly believe that Josh Rosen could be a starting quarterback in this league. Mm-hmm. The future at the position, the most important position in sports, the Cardinals have somebody that they feel they can move forward with. Another stopgap quarterback. I feel like John Elway is really just kind of putting a Band-Aid over this thing. Another season, wasting away a great defense. You know, Von Miller, you've got him on this huge mega million-dollar deal, mm-hmm. and it's just another wasted season for the guy.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting that synonymous with that is having Patrick Peterson
sure.
here.
It's very similar.
The same kind of
same draft.
Well,
right?
But and with Josh Rosen, it's excitement of the unknown. It's not no longer fear of the unknown with the Cardinals. It's excitement of the unknown because nobody's at fault yet for drafting Josh Rosen. You have at least one more year before it's looked at as, oh boy, did we make a mistake. And hopefully, sincerely, as media members, Bo and I both hope that Josh Rosen's going to be great. Because we're selfishly, we're yearning for something to be excited about. Besides a defense that, even though didn't, quote, live up to expectation last year, it's still a damn good defense if the offense would stay on the field. And I truly believe that. And we'll see if they double down, as Bo says, on the defense through the draft, and seeing if they're going to make that the anchor of the team and hope to fill pieces on the offensive side. We'll see. On the other side, we're going to talk Case Keenum too. Damn it. I don't want to, but we have to. Next on Locked On Cardinals. Welcome back to Locked On Cardinals. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock. Let's get right into this. So Case Keenum is now a backup quarterback, I guess you could say, for the Denver Broncos after the Broncos acquired Joe Flacco.
Can't we just say this? Case Keenum is now available.
Well, is Joe Flacco guaranteed to be the starter next year?
No, I don't think he's by any means guaranteed. But when you look at these are guys that are making a similar amount of money.
Right.
Can you invest close to $40 million?
Oh, my God. What is he doing?
And basically the same guy.
This is like he's thinking that he's going to be able to move Case Keenum on a one-year $18 million deal. Like, is Jacksonville better off with Case Keenum than Blake Bortles? I don't think the automatic answer is yes.
No, I think that you probably much like I feel with Denver, that's why this Flacco deal was kind of head-scratching to me was Case Keenum, I believe you're marginally better with him under center than Joe Flacco. Not okay. much. I mean, if you look at the numbers, this guy Heath Cummings tweeted this out. Since Case Keenum entered the league, he's got a 62% completion rate with a 3.5% TD to 2.3% INT rating, 84.5 QB rating, to Joe Flacco's 62.6% completion percentage to his 3.5 identical percent TD to 2.5% INT rate,
yeah.
plus his 82.3 QB rating.
Same as that quarterback.
The same guy. He's the same guy.
What always confused me about Case Keenum. Case Keenum has a bunch of college football records.
Yeah, he does.
A bunch, maybe a lot, but he has broken single season records, which I'm sure at some point in this day and age will get broken.
Cliff Kingsbury
right.
worked with him in Houston.
Right. And so did, oh man, there's a coach right now.
Kevin Sumlin,
thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Did he forget how to throw the ball down the field?
Case Keenum?
Yeah. Like, he does it, even when he was with Minnesota,
right.
they extended it a little bit with Stephon Diggs, but they focused more on the run game and the defense than they did with him hucking it.
Right.
This dude used to huck the ball, and it's like he forgot, even when he was in Houston with the Texans, when Matt Schaub went out or whoever he took over for, and Andre Johnson resurrected his career for a little bit when Case Keenum was throwing the ball 40 times and completing 18 passes for 300 yards. At least he threw the ball down the field then. Where did that go? I don't understand. Anyways, Case Keenum is now, I guess you could say, available.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. They wouldn't dare, right? The Cardinals?
Yes. I wouldn't think so. I don't think they would sniff up that tree.
I said this about Mike Glennon. I said this about Sam Bradford last year. I will quit if they trade for Case Keenum. And what? I know this is the most far-fetched of all of them, but they're like, ooh, we have money to spend. This would be Steve Keim spending half of the money they have left over on a backup quarterback to pressure their young guy.
That would, I mean, we talked so many times yesterday, the theater of absurd. But, I mean, that's what the NFL offseason and all the speculation will provide you. I'm saying I absolutely will throw down a hard no on that.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, so many people want to connect the dots, and that's the thing with Cliff Kingsbury. That's when you have a quarterback like Kingsbury who has these connections, especially at the college level. As we mentioned, Houston, Kevin Sumlin, Case Keenum when he was a baller at Houston before he was a guy that really went unnoticed in the NFL for a couple seasons before emerging with the, was it the Rams or the Texans?
Ooh.
He had...
Case Keenum?
Yeah.
He started with the Texans and went to the Rams, I believe.
And then he was basically...
When he was dead man walking, floppy flop, all over the field with the
resurrected
concussion.
His career, that as you mentioned, in Minnesota, and then last year was an interception machine, wasn't the answer at quarterback for the Broncos. I mean, Case Keenum, I think if you look across the NFL and you look at all the backups, including Mike Glennon, is just marginally better.
Yeah.
Not worth the $18 million price tag, that you would, despite you wanting to follow the tea leaves and find his connection with Cliff Kingsbury.
Here's the one. Here's the conspiratorial thing, and we'll move on from this. I'm saying this totally in jest. The Cardinals trade Josh Rosen to the Broncos mm-hmm. for Case Keenum in the number 10 overall pick.
So you've got Boom. Two top 10 picks?
Yeah.
And then you take Kyler Murray, and then you take... Whoever's at 10, you take an offensive
No, but I'm saying, I'm saying Case Keenum will be your starter this year for 18 mil.
Can I,
you get the number one and number 10 overall
can
pick.
Can I tell you?
I would do it.
I'm intrigued.
I would do it.
I'm intrigued.
We're taking, okay, Will Ferrell, one of my favorite lines of his was from Zoolander. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
I know.
That's because Bo and I say this in jest. But Bo and I spend so many hours in this studio together talking about how crazy things are right now and how nothing's off the table. That, I just came up with that, and that actually makes pseudo-rational sense for Steve Keim to think. I'll leave you with it. On the other side, and it's funny, we'll transition.
Flabbergasted right
now. We'll transition right into this after the break. Have the Cardinals done enough to back up their guy, their young quarterback, Josh Rosen, with all of the intrigue around Kyler Murray going number one overall? That's next. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock. We'll be right back. Wrapping up here, Locked On Cardinals. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock. I don't know where the southern twang came from. Follow the podcast at Locked On AZ Cards. Listen to us both on Fox Sports 910 Phoenix. I will be filling in with Bo for the Freaks today, 1 to 4 p.m., and then Bo will be doing double duty. 4 to 7 on the drive, his normal EP and co-hosting role. Long day for Bo today and yesterday and Monday.
Beats working for a living, my friend.
Yeah, I know.
It's the kind of shift work I can get behind.
I concur. Yeah, I agree. So, Josh Rosen, he's the guy, right? Cliff Kingsbury came out after all the questions and speculation on Monday about Kyler Murray, saying that he's going to play football only, blah, blah. Oh, is this Cliff Kingsbury, Kyler Murray, is this going to be a thing, number one overall? Cliff said he's our guy. Josh is our guy. And
our confidence hasn't waned.
Yeah, right.
He's our guy.
But but here's the thing.
Michael Bidwill said yesterday morning that the group are
we're going with the core.
We're moving forward with this core. Guys we have.
Okay. Apparently, there's been some flack that the Cardinals have been getting. Not a lot of it, but there's been rumblings like, they don't seem to be convincing people that Josh Rosen's their guy.
Right, yeah. A lot of people are not buying their commitment to Josh Rosen. A lot of people want to just dissect every single... It's like an episode of Game of Thrones. You think that there's little hidden clues to who's going to end up, you know, the true king or queen of Westeros, whatever it is.
Nice.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm reaching nice. There because I'm not a big Game of Thrones guy.
I appreciate you dropping the knowledge, though. That's like two or three times.
I don't know why people just can't. Here's why people can't just accept it. Because Kyler Murray's the sexiest name in the NFL draft now and until the draft actually happens.
Mm-hmm.
He's the most intriguing player. And until it actually happens, people are they don't want the speculation to die, no matter what the Cardinals say. You have the Cardinals' brain trust, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Loosely defined.
Their decision makers, their brass, whatever you want to call them, Steve Keim, Michael Bidwill, Cliff Kingsbury, have come out and they have doubled down on Josh Rosen. That's enough for me. And look, you can throw in the kitchen sink and say, hey, if a team overwhelms them for Josh Rosen, the Broncos come out and they offer a deal, like you mentioned, the 10th overall pick, and it would have to take more, right? The 10th overall pick and a couple.
I would take number 10 is equal to 2 twos, in my opinion.
Okay.
You get 2 top 10 picks,
it's
one draft.
I'm giving you. It's intriguing.
Don't get my hopes up.
Right? It kind of makes you butter.
Let's just do it.
I would say that I'm not reading too much into it. I think they are committed to Josh Rosen as far as playing the quarterback position at the NFL level. I've got more questions about Kyler Murray than I do have about Josh Rosen. I think that's the guy you move forward with. I'm not buying all the other
stuff. Listen, Bo, it's not to say, and now, damn it, I want to talk about this more. It's not to say the Cardinals would take Kyler Murray, because who's coming in the draft next year? Who's coming in the draft the year after?
Yeah.
If this is like a 6-year plan, Tua and then Trevor Lawrence, like
Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
Talented QBs.
You could use Case Keenum if and then have, you could draft Nick Bosa and then the best receiver in the draft, or Nick Bosa and one of the corners. Like, it opens up the world, but we're going to regress. I agree with you. First of all, I don't think Josh Rosen deserves anything more than they gave him regarding the vote of confidence. And vote of confidence, usually the kiss of death. When it comes to Josh Rosen and all of this stuff circulating about Kyler Murray and everything, if this doesn't light a fire under your ass, I don't know what will. Like, if you think that this job's easy, you have this job for 4 years in the current construct of the NFL, you're high. Right? So it's much ado about nothing. This is just draft talk. This is going to become, it's fun now, it's going to become exhausting in 4 weeks. It's going to be exhausting. We're going to have to come up with some other crazy conspiratorial thing to talk about, because we're going to get bored of this one. And when the combine hits at the end of February, we will find out immediately what Kyler Murray looks like. We'll find out, he'll do his pro day. We'll see. I don't know if any of that's going to be taped. Probably not. But chances are this is going to be the team. Nick Bosa is going to be the number one pick, and everything's going to be boring.
What if the Niners want to trade up for Bosa and they offer you the 34th overall pick?
Are they two?
Yeah.
And then you move down?
You move down one spot and you get a second round pick.
Would that be, they have that pick this year, or is that the Jimmy Garoppolo? Oh, that was last year. They moved up for Sony Michel. Well, it depends on what they've done in free agency. I know that's, I don't know, me pushing off the question. But if everything has been set at that point, say they get an interior lineman, defensive lineman, somewhere, I don't know, somebody. There are a couple big name guys that are still available.
Which team gets what?
If the Cardinals get a interior lineman.
They would still at two have their pick of Quinnen Williams and Josh Allen.
Right. At two, Josh Allen would be more, I was thinking more Jonah Williams at two. Because right when you jump off that number one.
You can even trade two.
Right. So that means that you would have 33 and 34.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that would mean that they could move in to the medium first round again.
Yeah, you could.
And see, anything moving down would benefit the Cardinals for this year and for next year, in my opinion. First of all, if Nick Bosa is the greatest guy of all time, the greatest defensive edge rusher of all time, you could say, well, you know what? He was hurt in college. You have a reason why you don't take him. Not everybody's Thomas Davis, who had 3 ACL surgeries. Or DeJuan Blair. I always use that one because he came out of Pitt, had 2 ACL tears. He had no ACLs coming to the NBA, was a top guy, ended up going in the second round to the Spurs because nobody wanted to take him. I completely understand that. If you can get more picks in this draft or next draft, first or second rounders, you take it. You take it. And you don't pigeonhole yourself. And you go sign a couple guys, a couple edge rushers, and just hope that one sticks, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, is that not, you don't always have the number one overall pick. And with what the number one overall pick has been going for recently, several picks, team building picks, you take it. You take it. The first and one, second and two example on the basketball court, I always say, I will trade the first overall pick to get the next two best players. Just what you do. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock. Oh, man. We have no idea what the hell is going to happen before tomorrow. But I tell you what, we will bring it to you tomorrow around this time. Talk to you then.